Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because I have Jessica with me. Jessica is a breakthrough self-love coach, motivational speaker, and author. Jessica guides you to conquer yourself with confidence so that you can magnetize love and success into your life. Jessica has been featured on billboards in Times Square, sharing her messages of empowerment, and has served as an expert on various mental health platforms. Jessica is a renowned motivational speaker, sharing space with Les Brown, Jillian Michaels, and Vivica A. Fox. Jessica is a powerful speaker and thought leader and was awarded in 2021 and 2022 for her contributions to entrepreneurship and women's empowerment. As a licensed mental health counselor, Jessica's mix of both professional and personal experiences of overcoming trauma and being a single mom of two gives her a unique approach to coaching and makes her a riveting speaker. Thank you for being here today, Jessica. It's such an honor to have you. And I would love for you to dive into your journey of entrepreneurship and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Sure. No, thank you for having me. I love talking about this. So my name is Jessica Maloney. I am a breakthrough self-love coach. I'm also a licensed mental health counselor here in New York, motivational speaker and author. I have stepped into coaching to empower busy, growth-minded women leaders to increase their confidence and flawlessly know their worth so they can break out of the negative patterns of self-sabotage and really magnetize the love and success that they want to see in their lives. So my journey through entrepreneurship, it really only started a couple of years ago once I realized that I wanted to be able to reach more people. I've spent roughly like 13 years as a mental health counselor in a variety of settings, and it's essentially very limiting. You know, I'm limited to one-on-one counseling or, you know, the group counseling, and it's not something that has been widely shared, I think, with a lot of people, especially like on social media. So knowing that, like, I do have this desire to help people, and through some of the personal experiences I went through in my own life, I found myself in the midst of the pandemic really recognizing that I was unhappy, that there was something in my life that, like, I had spent years not believing in myself, years struggling with my own anxieties, years just kind of wanting to disappear, you know, and just like get through life, if you will. And then I recognized that I had found myself in an abusive relationship. It was an emotionally abusive relationship. So it's not something that was easily seen, but also something I faulted myself for not recognizing sooner because I was in the mental health field. As I learned more about myself, as I realized that if I wanted to get out of this like unhappiness and this stuck feeling that like I had to help me, that's when I started my journey of entrepreneurship. And I didn't even realize it was starting at that point, but recognizing who I was and who I wanted to be, being able to accept myself for exactly where I was so that I could create a version of myself that I've never even imagined before. That I could look at myself in the mirror and recognize all the things that I didn't like about myself so that I could give myself the power to change them, to explore other options. And I had a friend who was kind of like in the mix of entrepreneurship. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? I want to learn more about what you're doing. And that's when I hired my first coach. And it was the door of opportunity that I began to learn about business. I had no business background and know what I was doing. I was like, I want to start a business. It was something that was just never encouraged. Like when I was younger, it was like, go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a job, mm-hmm. You know? And I don't even know if I knew what an entrepreneur was, but either way, I hired a coach. I learned about like what business is like and how to create a website and how to, you know, share and get started. And that was the person who put me in a seat to then find other people. I got onto Clubhouse. I met you. I got, you know, into also from Clubhouse, and I ended up working with Les Brown for 9 months. He mentored me in my speaking career. It was just a door of opportunity. And from that program, I met so many other incredible people that I'm still talking to today. I was on a call earlier with somebody and I'm going to be doing an event with them on Sunday. And it's just this snowball effect. But like the greatest like part of my journey was being willing to invest in myself, Being willing to accept myself for exactly where I was, even though I didn't like it and I didn't really like myself at that time, to give me the power to move forward and to change and to do scary, scary things. But with the blessing of, like, even though, like, I'm taking a leap of faith, like, I met so many incredible people along the way and the doors of opportunity, I don't see them before I get there sometimes, but there ends up always being one at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. Oh, I so appreciate you sharing that. And I know we're going to touch on all of it because there's so much there that I want to unpack, but I want to go back to, because, you know, coming from a mental health background myself too, I'm curious, because a lot of times it is like you go to school, get the good job, and then you're set. But I really resonated with what you said, and I think other people will too. I kind of felt a little trapped when I was practicing, where I could only do so much and I was very anxious about it. I never wanted to, like, do anything wrong or anything like that. But I'm curious, because that transition from working in the mental health field and now entrepreneurship and being a self-love coach, I think is so important of that dynamic that you have. You have this background where you can see things a little different than somebody who doesn't have that background. So when you transitioned and shifted a little bit, what was that transition like for you going from the mental health field to now coaching as well?
It was unique and a little scary. Like you said, like, you know, we've been trained to, like, be very professional and, like, keep things, like, behind closed doors where they belong. And, like, we don't talk about ourselves, you know, only a little bit, but, you know, in the world that we found ourselves in, especially in the pandemic, like, people were just, like, struggling, you know? And I feel like I do have a very unique perspective on things because, you know, I have all these years of training on, like, the way we think and how to change it and how to manipulate different things in our minds to be able to change our behaviors. And that stuff is great. And, like, I can keep dishing that out, but when I bring in my personal component and I relate to my clients on certain things, like, I have kids, so I can talk about my kids with my clients. I'm like, well, me personally, this is how I do things. And, like, I can take away some stigmas by sharing about myself, but learning to do that scary because you don't know, like, we think that we're going to be judged often, but, like, I mean, listen, it's happened, but the most feedback I've received is understanding and compassion. Like, thank you for sharing your story with me because I have gone through the same thing, or I'm feeling the same way that you were. And I think through our storytelling and through our background, it's like, I can not only tell you what I did to get through it, because what works for me is not going to work for you necessarily, but I can tell you how I did it. And then I could tell you how we changed the mindset, how we use the mental health tools and change the cognitive structure of what it is that we're doing to actually make it something that you can relate to and input into your life personally. You know, and I think that there's a lot of people doing the personal story stuff, which is wonderful. It's very relatable. And then there's people who are doing just, like, the educational piece of it. I feel like I kind of bring it together, but it was hard to do it first, you know?
No, absolutely. And I love that you have been able to make that transition. You're right. A lot of times we're taught and learn in school, like, everything is private. Like, you don't share anything about yourself, but how liberating it is when you do start doing it. At least that's how I felt, because I didn't feel like I had to be in this box or, like, be perfect. It was almost like this perfectionism that I had struggled with, but of not knowing where is that line. But being able to realize how much it shows that we're human, that we all go through something in different capacities. And I love that you've been able to share your story. And I would love for you to talk a little bit more about all the speaking engagements you've had, because you've had so many, and I'm so excited to hear more about it. But how did you really get into that aspect?
Oh my gosh, that's a fun story, actually. I'll try to keep it short and sweet, though. But so once I hired the coach and I started, like, seeing what she was doing, I was like, I want to do what you're doing. Like, I want to just be you, like, just take that. But she would get in front of people and she would talk about, like, how she could help them and, like, what she could do for them, and had people signing up for her programs. And I was like, I want to talk about, like, what I know. Like, I know I can help people, you know, and whether it's my story or my background, like, I've been doing it and I want to be able to do more of it. So I got onto Clubhouse, right? And Clubhouse was, you know, this whole speaking thing. And it was like, you know, at the beginning, I had to get an invitation to get in. I was like, ooh, I'm important now. but that's where I started kind of getting on these virtual stages and sharing a little bit about who I am and what I do. And there were speaker rooms in there. I was like, people, like, people do this, people train for this. It was like a whole new experience for me. But in Clubhouse is where I got connected with Les Brown, and I signed up for his program, and I was mentored with him and a group of people for roughly 9 months. And we went over just the details of storytelling and how to tell your story. And he worked with me one-on-one, and it was the most incredible experience, the way he took my words and turned it into something that was just so relatable and emotionally driven, but also a way that was productive. So I took that training. I got to speak on stage with him in August of 2021, which was incredible. I got to speak on stage with Vivica A. Fox in the end of 2021 as well, in December. And I've spoken with Jillian Michaels virtually, which is great. And just like the connections that you make and putting yourself out there and knowing that like I can provide a service and I can provide a story. And I think that that's the thing, like we need to talk about what it is that we do. We need to share about our passions and connect with the people in order to, you know, keep the connections rolling. And then also like I started doing my own events. You know, I recognize that like I started doing vision boards. I don't know if you're familiar with vision boarding, but you know, just the accumulation of images and goal setting and like just the motivation behind that visual thing. I was like, I'm going to do my own event. So I speak on like the neuroscience behind vision boards and host events, mostly here on Long Island. But yeah, when in doubt, do your own.
Yes, I love it. And I love that Clubhouse really did open that up, and also having the coach and really investing in yourself too, because I think that's the most important aspect when we have somebody that's in our corner helping us too. And I think that's like the biggest part of investment is understanding too what you need and being able to hear somebody else too that can help you with your words when speaking with Les Brown, and having that mentorship, because I think mentorship is so important in this journey. What has it been like for you having Les Brown as your mentor, but just mentorship in general as well?
I mean, it was the reason that I got started. You know, it's the thing that helps me to push forward. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, the first coach that I hired, she opened doors for me and introduced me to so many other people that have mentored me without them even knowing it at some points. But having a coach, having a speaking mentor, and even the people in that group, we would break out into smaller groups, and I would have like one-on-one accountability sessions with, you know, colleagues, if you will. But sometimes it's also nice to have that, like, you know, just that person who is just a step ahead of you, a couple steps ahead of you. And then there's Les Brown. There's all these great people that are like miles away. But like, you know, those are the aspirations. We need that level of influence in our life to know that there's somewhere we can go where essentially everything that we want for ourselves is possible. And then there's like a level of influence under that, where there's somebody just a couple steps in front of me that like knows exactly where I am. They remember how that feels. And that's an incredible place to exist as well, knowing that like, you know, there are steps, and like this one feels a little bit closer. But if I didn't have a mentor, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. And choosing to invest in myself and figuring out, for me, the hardest part was figuring out where do I want to go next? Because I'm an ideas person. Mm-hmm. I want to speak on stages. I want to have events. I want to do a retreat. I want to do that. I want to coach. So there are so many ideas, and just being able to like pick something and go forward with that, trusting myself enough that like, hey, like, let's try this. There's no guarantees that this is going to work out, but to me, this feels good. Like, I like this idea, because I, you know, when I started, I was like all over the place with my ideas, and I was trying to write a book, do a virtual online coaching program, do like a purchased program, and do like online video series. I was trying to do all these things at the same time. Then I was like, I want to go on speak on stage too. I was like, girl, I'm like, I have a job and I have kids. I was running myself into the ground. I was like, all right, we need to stop. So choosing an avenue for mentorship was my greatest asset. You know, and like I said, like really learning how to believe in me and what I was capable of was really the first step, you know, because like somebody could talk to me all they want about like creating an online course, but if I don't have the wherewithal inside of me to be able to sit and trust myself to do it, it's not going to get done. So picking an avenue and choosing somebody who is either a couple steps ahead of me in that field, or, you know, a higher level of influence to help me recognize what it is that I need to do and what it is that I'm capable of. But yeah, investing in yourself, like that we have to be prepared for that. It's a necessary and beautiful component of what it is that we do. I'm sure you felt that too.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you said too about just a little thing that you said on mentorship. Sometimes it's not even people that know that they're a mentor to us. And it could be somebody that you're communicating with. It could be a book you've read or a video you've watched. But a lot of times it doesn't, even if you can't like afford it right away, you can still have mentors that might not know that they're a mentor to you as well. But when you can, I think it's so important to invest within the right people and the people that are there to really support you and take hold of like, okay, let's go. We're on this together, this journey. And that's what it sounds like happened for you.
Yeah. A little handholding sometimes, you know, we just need some, come on girl, like let's go.
Especially if you've never done it before. It's not something you learn in school. I mean, I wish more schools had that and that structure to like look at opportunities, because just like you, I didn't really know there was options of entrepreneurship or what that looked like. I mean, I heard the terms, but I came up from a family of educators. So I had like no idea. I was like, okay, go to school and get a job and you'll be good. But I think it's important what you said too. It's being open to it, but the self-belief as well, because you can have people telling you, yeah, you can do it. But if you don't believe it yourself, that is going to create a roadblock or an obstacle. So I'm curious, did you have any obstacles in your journey so far that have maybe pulled you back a little bit or tested you in some ways?
Absolutely. I mean, it still happen, you know, and listen, I pride myself on like doing a lot of inner work. You know, I've really like, especially over the last like several years, I've really looked at myself in a way that, like I said earlier, like I never have before. And I put myself in places that I would have never thought that I would ever see myself. Like in high school, like I was the girl that just wanted to disappear. Like I just wanted to go do my thing, like not have people like notice me. And now I'm like, on stage in front of hundreds of people in like 4-inch heels. And I'm like, who is this? You know? So it is like, it is that inner work, but I mean, listen, I've struggled with anxiety my entire life, so it will still pop up, you know, and I don't discount that. Like, it's just, it's a piece of who I am. It's not something that defines me or holds me back, but it will exist. And I have to pay it a little bit of attention. And like, you know, I tell some of my clients, we give her a name. I won't say it here because it's maybe not very nice. Give that little inner voice a name sometimes, you know, whether we want to call it anxiety or we call it imposter syndrome or social comparison, like these things, they're the thieves of joy. You know, they will take away your joy. They will take away like the belief that you have in yourself and make you doubt yourself to a place that like, then you need to make a decision. Like, does this doubt take away your path? Does it shift it? You know, and I think we need to sit with that for a little bit, at least, you know, for me. And I think that it's really valuable to acknowledge it because like, again, if it's something that exists for you, it's not necessarily just going to go away, but we need to acknowledge it and then cope with it and put it back in its place so it doesn't keep disrupting us, you know? So if it does pop up, it's just, I think it's normal. And I think a lot of people experience like versions of doubt or anxiety on like, can I really do this? But why can't you? You know, what evidence do you have to say that you can't do it? Just because you don't believe in yourself, there's probably no evidence to support that until you try and then keep trying. And then one of the things that I say is like, you have not failed yet until you stop trying. So people talk about this idea of failure and like, you know, we can talk about how failure is good. We can learn from our failures, our mistakes, you know, but yes, I continue to have like these pop-ups of self-doubt and anxiety that get in my way. And I need to ask myself like, can you do this? Would you feel better if you didn't do it? Mm-hmm. Probably not. Mm-hmm. The answer to that question is always a no for me. So I'm like, all right, Jess, we got to get it together. Like, let's just relax, like take a break. Maybe you're just like over like stimulated by all the things. And then like, let's come back fresh face and ready to like, maybe take a shift, maybe make a pivot and like go in a new direction or just power through and start, you know, leaning on the resources, you know, call up that mentor, call up like somebody in like one of your mentorship groups, you know, call up your coach and be like, I'm having a little struggle, you know, and like, again, another great support system that, you know, we have to build for ourselves.
Yes. And like, what I'm hearing is like the community around you as well, because it's sometimes we can feel so lonely on this journey, but knowing that you have those individuals in your corner that you can call up and be like, hey, like I'm going through this, but you have to like be honest with yourselves too. And I think what you're saying and what I'm hearing is about like failure as well. I think it's important that we do fail and like not let it define us. Because like what you said too, it's not like the end all be all unless you quit, but I think it's an opportunity to redirect or reframe it and understanding, okay, this isn't the end. It just, this didn't work out. So there might be something even better waiting, but you have to like go through that to get to the next space. And I feel like from your journey as well, what you've shared so far, and just the little I know as well, is you've been able to overcome a lot of obstacles in life and been able to persevere to get yourself on those stages, even though looking back, like you would have never expected it, but understanding too that you're more than capable of doing it if you put your mind to it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you make a decision and you want to change something about yourself, like you're fully capable of it. But too often people are telling that they can't. You know, can't is just such like a word that's just thrown around so easily. You know, and if we let our failures define us, you know, they will. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've gotten to a point where I have to, for my own well-being, anytime that something doesn't work out, I have to ask myself, for what reason is this happening? What can I learn from this? What can I gain from this experience? Because if I don't learn from my experiences, they'll just become more obstacles. They will stay in my way and I will have to fight through them in order to overcome them. But if I can learn from them and be like, okay, like you're here for a reason. I might not quite understand it yet, but I can trust that like I'm going to gain something from this experience, that I'm going to move forward in faith, with grace, with perseverance, like you said, to keep pushing past, but knowing that like I'm going to pivot around this. You know, I don't have to fight with it, but I'm going to do my best. What can I learn from this experience so that I can move forward stronger, with more knowledge, with more experience? And like, those are the things that help us to grow as individuals, as entrepreneurs, and with whatever it is that we choose to step into next. You know, like our stories are constantly being written. And if we're not writing them ourselves, and we're leaving it up to like, whoever else, the universe, God, whatever it is you believe in, to just kind of like let things happen. You know, one thing that Les Brown always says, he's like, things do not happen to you, they are happening for you. So really trying to understand, like, you know, you might not know in the minute. I'm like, sometimes like, why is this happening for me? I don't know. But I know it's for me. So we're going to trust and keep going.
Yes, I'm right there with you and Les. That's exactly, you know, in the beginning, it's like understanding too, it's happening for a reason and you don't know what that reason is, but you're right. It's like, I've had those moments where I'm just like, okay, I know this is happening for me. Well, what's the reason behind it? Can we hurry it up? One day. But, you know, even just speaking of like the things that are happening for us, I know you created these vision board seminars, workshops, things along those lines. What came about with that? I would love to hear a little bit more.
So I've been doing vision boards like on and off for like a number of years. Like I'm a crafter. So like the idea of like scrapbooking a vision board was like super fun.
Yeah.
But I never really understood like why. Like it's nice and like it's cool to like kind of create this image and like, you know, put it all on like a nice board and like this is what I want to achieve. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's so much more to it. And once like I learned about like how to use a vision board and like what the science is behind it and how it like triggers our mind to think about things. Mm-hmm. I made a vision board and it was like the first time that I was able to actually recognize how my visions actually came to life. Mm-hmm. Because the images of a vision board, they trigger your mind in a very different way. An image can convey so many messages into your brain and just like one like eye shot of that image versus like reading something or, you know, going through listening to something. Right. So we're getting an influx of like a significant message from that image alone, you know, plus like, if you've ever been to like the store and like you see something and you're like, oh, like, that's kind of cute. I don't think I need it though. But then you get home and you realize that I did need that thing. And you're like, oh man, I was right there. Mm-hmm. So essentially like a vision board, like helps you with those things. It programs your mind in a way that like, when you go out into the world, you start seeing the things that you need, that if somebody like you start talking to, they're like, oh, like I do this thing. And you're like, oh, I need that thing, because you're being flooded with this message every day that you look at that vision board, you know? So we keep it somewhere and you can see every day so that you're like, you're programming your mind. Like your mind is susceptible to influence. That if we program it and we tell it what to look for, it's going to look for those things. So subconsciously, we're constantly programming our mind. So like the people who keep saying, I can't, their mind is like, okay, like let's look out for all the other things we can't do because you told me that's what you want to look for. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we change our language and we have this visual image or a vision board of like all the things that we can and want, now it's like, all right, well, we want this. I can do this. So you're changing your programming in your brain to search for the things that you want and the things that you can achieve. So if you hear somebody talking about it, or you see an opportunity to do something that could get you to that goal, you're more inclined to A, recognize it, and then B, take advantage of the opportunity in front of you when it's there instead of missing it. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool, like whole, like, I guess, build up behind it all, but it's been a valuable tool. And like, actually for entrepreneurs, it's one of the greatest tools. Like generally speaking, there's, you know, a bunch of studies on it, but that it does, it's proven to make entrepreneurs more successful.
I agree. I mean, it's crazy because I've been doing vision boards for a while, a couple of years now, but even like the clearer I got of what I wanted, like I might've not known how, but I was like, this is what I want. And it's come true because it's the words that we say to ourselves too. If we're saying I can't over and over again, that's what's being programmed into our brains of, okay, well, you can't have that, or you're not going to get that. But it's crazy how the opportunities open up too. And just even all the opportunities that have opened up for you as well and continue to because of what you're putting out there. And I love that you've created this for clients and workshops as well to help more people be able to, because I know that's your mission in life too, is to help people. And you're doing that.
More fun like that. Put together, have a glass of wine, let's do some arts and crafts. But like we talk about the things that we really want to achieve, and it sets the tone. Like, I mean, luckily I've been able to get like very like positive feedback from my workshops. You know, that people like, I've had women come in, they're like, I don't know what this is. Like, what am I supposed to do here? And I'm like, I'll tell you. So you know, I go over my whole spiel with them, and like they leave, they're like, wow, like I feel really good about this. Like, this is great. Like, I feel really like inspired and optimistic. And that, like, you know, you, like you said, you don't have to know the how. You don't even really have to know like the deep, deep what's. Mm-hmm. You have to know that you want to change something. You have to know that you want better, or you want to enhance in some capacity. And then we just compile images and words that inspire us to have that feeling. And like, it can develop over time. Like, you can put an image on your board that you might not know what it signifies just yet, but you know what makes you feel something. Mm-hmm. So we want to enhance that and at least go forward with that. Because again, if you program in your mind to like, mm-hmm. think about things you really want, you're going to learn more about yourself. And it's a process, and we just have to trust it sometimes.
I know. It's hard to trust it sometimes. It really is. But even just speaking of workshops and seminars, I know you have a retreat coming up very soon. Could you share a little bit more about that for us?
I do. Yes, I'm super excited about this. It's a self-love and self-care retreat. It's for women. It's going to be in April, last weekend of April, out here in the Hamptons. So I am so excited. I have a couple different people coming in to support and like give some workshops. We're going to be talking about like feminine energy, law of attraction. Of course, we're going to be making vision boards, making some mindset work, you know, kind of getting to that deep inner stuff. Because, you know, with self-care, I think as women, we are very much rewarded for busyness. You know, like I'm a victim of this too. People are like, how's your day? I'm like, or how's your week? Or how's things going? I'm like, oh, it's busy. And like, I'm really trying to consciously change that into like, it's been productive. You know, we're getting things done, and, you know, trying to change that busy, heavy feeling into something that is like forward moving. Mm-hmm. So again, like women, I think maybe just in our country here, we're just rewarded for busyness. Mm-hmm. That we don't necessarily take time out for self-care because nobody's telling you to. Mm-hmm. So like I said, they get up, go to school, get good grades, go get a job, like do the things, mm-hmm. right? Nobody really is being like, hey, you should take a break. Hey, you should like take care of yourself a little bit more beyond just like going to get your nails done. Like, I mean, listen, I love a good manicure, but you know, sometimes like as much as those things are self-care, it's the deeper stuff, the stuff that's going to be more longer lasting. And that stuff happens when we kind of get into ourselves, which people are generally a little bit intimidated to do. It doesn't always feel good when you're doing it, But it's like when you get like a massage and you have like a knot and they just like go in on you and they're like, you're like, oh my God, it hurt. Yeah. Leave. And you're like, oh, I kind of feel better. Mm-hmm. Like that's the deep, like self-care stuff that like we're going to be doing. And like, essentially by the time these women leave the weekend, they will be completely refreshed with a new foundation of their mindset on how we are able to care for others while also caring for ourselves. It doesn't have to be that we say no more to others. We just say yes more to ourselves. Self-care doesn't have to be this deep, deep thing. Like it can be minutes of your day, you know, but we need to be able to choose ourselves. And like, that's why I have this weekend. It's just a reset, you know? And like I said, there's going to be a lot of great workshops, a lot of mindset, a lot of natural healing, a lot of like getting in touch with our bodies and nature. We're going to be by the beach. So we're going to do some manifesting and beach walk, but I'm super excited. And I think that, like I said, it'll be a really great reset for the women to just create a new foundation of understanding of ourself and our mindset. Because I think once we conquer the self, we can conquer our life. We can conquer love. We can conquer family. We can conquer all the things, you know, and especially if you're a woman who wears many hats and, you know, you have a job and you're an entrepreneur and you're a mom or you're a caretaker in some capacity, you're a friend, you're all these things, it can be very demanding. So I'm just encouraging women to say yes to themselves for just a couple of days so that they can, you know, essentially live the rest of like their lives feeling like they're more in control, you know, and every now and then we'll come back for the retreat and we'll do another reset.
I love it. We need those resets. But, and I know like just even what you're talking about too, like the busyness of life and how we do wear a lot of hats. But you in particular, I know you're a mom of two and doing everything you're doing. How have you been able to integrate work and life and motherhood?
That's a really great question. I don't know.
I like the answer.
Sometimes, girl, sometimes it's just survival mode, you know, other times it's diligent and organization and planning and things like that. But it's a challenge, you know, I'm a single mom, so it's me and the two kids most of the days of the week. So being able to see clients and work on building a business and host events and collaborate with different brands who want to be a part of these events and be a part of helping the women that I've connected with, it is a lot, but it's a passion. You know, so I really try to be as diligent and as mindful as I can. You know, when I'm with my kids, I really do try to disconnect from things, you know, because if I'm with them, they're young, so I'm not going to get any work done anyway. Yeah. So I might as well be as mindful and as present in those moments as I can. You know, I end up working like usually pretty late at night because like there's a passion that I have to be able to do what I do, you know, and I enjoy a lot of it. You know, it's also a hard thing for me to kind of outsource some of it because I do like it and I do want to learn a lot about the, you know, different parts of business and marketing and design and things like that. So I try to be as organized as I can when I'm with my clients. I'm fully present with my clients. When I'm with my kids, I'm trying my best to be fully present with them as well. And then the rest is just kind of like organized chaos, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a list. I'm a list maker. I'm also like a post-it person. They're color coded. It's super fun. So like I make my lists, I have my post-its, and I know that like, here's one thing that is actually really helpful, that if you at least agree to do one or two things on that list, like commit to it for yourself, that listen, my list is never ending. So like, it will always be there. But if I can at least get the things done on that list that I've committed to for myself, then I can give myself credit. I can give myself a pat on the back that I don't have to keep looking at my list being like, oh my God, it's not done. Oh my God, I have all these things to do. Oh my, because that is daunting. And again, that programs our mind to think that like you're drowning essentially. Mm-hmm. So when you commit to doing like a small task and you accomplish that, that's when we can give ourselves credit. And that's where we build confidence and trust that like, I can do this. Because like you have to honor the commitments you make to yourself if you ever want to feel confident in you and trust you. And like you kind of have to, like you're with you all the time.
Never.
Right. Start there. And then like everything else that you get done in that day is a bonus. And then you could still congratulate yourself, you know. And also like knowing when to take time to just like not do anything, you know. Preventing burnout is so much easier than coming back from it.
That is 100% true. Just from my experience, like you were speaking my language in so many ways, but right. I think it's important to recognize too, it's just getting at least one or two things done and understanding that the list is always going to be growing as an entrepreneur, especially if you're wearing many hats and things along those lines. And I'm curious, because you touched on it and we haven't had a chance to really dive into it, but with the events that you've created, and I know with the retreat, how has that process been like building that out? So if somebody wants to do a retreat, what were the steps you took to start doing that?
Well, I put it on my vision board.
There you go.
The idea was like put on the vision board. I wish I had it right here, but it was plan the retreat. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like this was my last year's vision board. So like by the time like the summer rolled around, I was like down on myself. I was like, I didn't plan it. Like I wanted to like do it this summer. And I was like, you know, just like talking myself like really mean. And then I recognized that like, listen, I still have the rest of the year. Like it just says plan the retreat. So I was like, you know what? I went on to Airbnb and I was looking for a house. I knew where I wanted to do it. I had a couple ideas and I found a house and I was like, this has got to work. Like this is a reasonable thing. And I was like, you know what? Click, done, reserved. And then I was like, all right, like, let's do it. Like I've been to a lot of events and I've seen the way like a lot of people do things and I've picked out pieces that I really like. You know, so based on my experiences in learning about retreats and events by attending them and being a part of them and figuring out which parts of like pouring into me were most valuable, those are the things that I'm going to be pouring into everybody else. So attending retreats and events, mental health events, speaking events, anything that is just like going to be good for you, attend these events, put it on a vision board if it's something that you want to do. And then like figure out like where you want to have it. Talk to people about like collaborating with you. Think about like what kind of value you want to offer, you know, and like what would be most rewarding for the audience that you want to invite to your retreat. You know, like I've collaborated with a couple of wonderful people so far on the retreat and we're going to be kind of giving avenues of self-care, physical components, the mental components, and like the fun components, the pampering stuff, like the deep like empowerment stuff. Like we're going to do a photo shoot. Like we're going to have like a private shopping like event. Like we're going to make it fun, but also like really learning and, you know, doing a lot of that inner stuff. But yeah, there are steps. And, you know, the first part is again, trusting yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I love that you really have embodied everything you're saying too, of like starting with the vision board and you didn't know how it was going to work out, but you knew it was just like, okay, plan it and going on Airbnb and like taking those steps to make it what you wanted to, especially I think it's important what you said as well of attending different retreats, workshops, things along those lines to really see what spoke to you and create it, what made sense for you and what you knew would be helpful for others as well, or think will be helpful for others. And being able to do that. And I think it's just taking that step, right? That belief of knowing, okay, this might be even better than I could imagine, but it's like, you never know until you take that step. And it's scary. Like we've talked about that earlier. It is scary because you don't know the outcome, but that's the beautiful thing of being able to design something and create something that can be so powerful. And collaborating with others as well, because I do think you're stronger together and having the different aspects too, because we can't be everything to everyone, but being able to have the different elements. And I love how you compiled it because I'm excited to hear how it goes and everything like that, because I think it's going to be amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited about it. And, you know, I think just think like the, again, the value that I experience going to these things, you know, like you don't always like, I guess, recognize what you're going to get out of it. You know, and I think that every event that I've ever been to, I've definitely left with something, you know, so I'm excited to be able to give that.
I'm excited for you and everyone attending. And so I know you have other things you do too. I want to touch on, I know you're an author as well. Can you talk a little bit about your book?
Sure. So I actually published a journal. It is a self-guided journal. So I've talked a lot about journaling with a lot of my clients because it is a wonderful and very valuable tool to help just like organize some of the clutter in your mind and like really set the intentions that we want to have in our day and our life. It's great for like our affirmations and just like giving that reset, programming your mind, like we talked about so much. So there's a bunch of activities in there that help you to really develop this sense of self. Like it's that facing yourself in the mirror stuff that people are generally uncomfortable with, But with a journal, like, you can do it in the privacy of your own home. You can take your time with it. You know, I ask these questions because, you know, it does make you look at yourself in a different way. And that's what we need to do in order to create any type of change that we want. So there's a couple of activities in there that are going to be really, like, helpful for developing self-awareness and engaging in that personal development stuff that we love so much. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, there's goal setting pages. There are different areas of your life that I ask you to set goals in. What are your social goals? What are your career or business goals? Like, what are your personal goals, family goals, things like that, so that we have a better sense of self and life. And then there are, like, reflection pages. So again, mornings and evenings, being able to set intentions, because it's interesting. I learned that, you know, your brain, your mind is most susceptible to influence the moments after you wake up and the moments right before you fall asleep. So if you are going to engage in something, those are the best times to be able to do it, because your brain is just, like, absorbing stuff, you know? So if you can set some intentions for your day in the morning, think about it. Like, if sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, so tired. And, you know, my day is just kind of like that. But when I am practicing my intentions, setting an intention of, like, okay, we're going to make this a good day, or, like, you know, I'm full of abundance, and setting an intention for what it is that you want to receive in your day, it sets the tone, you know, it changes the trajectory of, like, what could happen for you instead of to you, you know? So I think that, like, for me, it's more helpful, because if we, like, in high school, like, you give me creative writing, you're like, write about whatever you want. I'd be like, no, I don't know what to write. You know, I always needed guidance. So I'm sure there's other people that feel that way when it comes to themselves, you know, like, I don't know what to write about for myself. So it's got some prompts in there to help guide you and help you set the tone for what it is that you really want in your life.
I love that. I think it just all comes together so beautifully, like, everything you have done, because I know you have also jewelry as well.
Oh yeah. Little tokens. Obviously I'm a visual person. If we talk about vision boards and, like, these events and, you know, being able to kind of put yourself out there, but, like, sometimes it is just, like, it's a tool, right? Yeah. That, like, you know, we can do all this inner work. You can have your journal at night and morning. And, like, once you step out of your home, what are you taking with you? Yeah. You know? So sometimes it is just, like, a little piece of something that, like, you know, like, this is with it. Like, this is my reminder. Like, this is my thing that, like, I got this, I can do this. And, like, I have a couple different messages depending on, like, the pieces that I have, but, you know, there's a bracelet that I made, and I love it because there's a little arrow on it. And I tell you that, like, you know, when life pulls you back, it's not to hold you down, it's to launch you forward.
It's so true. Like, everything you're saying, and I think it's everything that you embody and put out there, is because of the experiences you've had that's made you stronger to help others become stronger as well. And I think that starts with sharing our stories, sharing our journeys, because it's never just a straight line. It can be very messy, like we were talking about before. But I think too, it's a bigger concept of understanding. It's just taking it day by day. And knowing that no one has it all figured out, but you're taking the steps to make it clear every day. And that's okay. That's part of life. That's part of entrepreneurship in general.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I would be scared at this point. Like, if somebody was like, I've got it all figured out, I'd be like, you know? Because, I mean, you know, it's changing. Like, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, who expected COVID, right? Like, who had it all figured out before then, you know? But I think that we need to be versatile enough to be able to shift with the world, shift with our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are so many different moving parts. And again, like, my life is not the same as yours, you know, so, like, we could have the same goals and we can get there two very different ways, you know? So I think it's important to understand that, like, we don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to have the drive and the willingness to learn as you go, and to grow from your mistakes, like we talked about, to learn from your experiences, and to trust other people who are ahead of you in some capacity, who have done other things or done the things that you want to do, and be like, hey, like, can you help shorten this learning curve for me? Can you give me some guidance? Can you hold my hand and take me with you?
Exactly. And so, just kind of speaking of too, like, being able to understand that it's not a linear aspect, it's up and down in different aspects. But what are maybe, like, two or three tips that you've learned along this journey of entrepreneurship?
Oh gosh. What kind of tips and tricks? I feel like there's so many.
Well, that have been very pivotal for you.
Okay. Getting a coach, you mm-hmm. know, was definitely like, that would be the first thing that I would recommend to somebody, you know, get somebody who can guide you for real and like who can, you know, be there to support you when, you know, you do have those like twinges of self-doubt. Secondly, would be like to really explore what you want to do, you know, in what ways do you want to pursue this entrepreneurship? Like there are probably so many different things that you can do in any given field. Is there something specific that like you want to do and why? For what purpose? Like, what is the driving factor behind that? Because we have to want it so bad. Like you have to want to change, you know, like people come to me all the time and they're like, I want this. And I was like, okay, well, what are you willing to really do to get there? You know? And then it's like, do you really want it? Because if we're not willing to take an action, if we're not willing to make a change, then the thing that we want will always just be a dream, you know, in order to make our dreams into a reality. I think action is like the most valuable thing that you can do. You know, there's the belief in yourself, have belief in yourself, take action and essentially try to trust that process that we fear a little bit at times. We don't quite understand. But yes, investing in yourself, believing in yourself and knowing your direction and why.
Those are phenomenal tips. And I think they're so important too. It's just recognizing it's building that foundation so you can do whatever it is you want. And that's what I'm hearing from you as well. And I think it's just so encompassing of everything we've talked about this whole time. And I've so been enjoying this conversation. I feel like I could talk to you for more hours, and we have, but at this point, I would love to know, where can people find you, your retreat, everything else? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check out my website. It's jessicamaloney.net. And it's M-O for Maloney. Everyone spells it with an A, but M-O-L-O-N-E-Y. And then I'm on social media at the Jess Maloney on all platforms. And then if you want to go specifically to the retreat page, you can go to the website, or you can go jessicamaloney.net/retreat. And there's a little bit more information there. We do only have 2 rooms left, which hopefully will sell out soon. But yeah, if you're interested, those are the places to find me, or you can email me at info@jessicamaloney.net.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for your time, your energy, your transparency. I so appreciate it, and your vulnerability as well. But thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your journey with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again. So much fun. I missed this.
I know, it's been too long. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Jessica? She gave so many amazing tips and insights to this journey of entrepreneurship. And we will see you on the next video.